Welcome to Biceps and Banter with expert trainer Brandon Crow. Hold on to your dumbbells and get ready for this conversational style podcast focused on interesting everyday dribble with tasty tidbits of health-related information sprinkled in. Enjoy.
So who started the business?
Okay, so me and my wife, I met Nick. So there's a rare time when social media kind of blesses you with good people. So we met online, right? That's how we met, right? Yeah. Sounds weird. Yeah. We met online. And so what's amazing about him, and I want to, as much as I want to just talk about what we're going to talk about, is I wanted him here because he is the most unique person I've ever met in my life at his age when it comes to health and fitness. I'm 33. He's 21. And we're like on the same page, which is very rare, especially in this day and age. So I was completely taken back by his passion and knowledge. So we just kind of stayed in contact, and he's just like with us. Like, this is what KetoClick is. It's like a lifestyle brand. I'm not really trying to sell things and like portray something. It's more about the mindset, right? So we kind of been working now and just talking and just growing a relationship and a friendship and I guess helping one another in life, right? This journey.
So what's the keto mindset then versus keto diet?
So here's the thing. So I've been doing keto for now 4 years. So before it was like this fad kind of thing, and the first thing that most people get is the cognitive benefits. And that's what I love about it. A lot of people, like anything, right, when it comes to the health and fitness industry, people want to talk about weight loss. Just like how GNCs and Popeyes are the exact same things on the shelf, right? It's gain muscle, lose fat. That's always been the mindset. And I get that. But to me, it doesn't matter what kind of diet you're doing, it's calories in and out, right, for the most part. So I don't do keto, and I don't suggest keto because of weight loss. I do it strictly because of the mindset, the mentality, the cognitive benefits. So basically, the reason why I stuck with the name KetoClick and I kind of ran with that is because even though I constantly get pushback, well, you can't always do keto, you can't always be keto, even though I don't always agree with that, every single thing that has put me on this path of positivity in my life is 100% based upon living a ketogenic lifestyle. And that's why I use the word lifestyle. It's not a diet, or I don't like the word diet, because if you eat McDonald's every day, that's your diet, right? Your diet. So I do it mainly for that reason. And I lost my mom to cancer when I was 11, or just before I turned 11. So knowing the impact and the lack of knowledge that was out there then compared to now, I think it's foolish if people don't try and educate themselves, whether you do keto or not. Like if you are completely against keto, that's fine. You know what I mean? I'm still, maybe there's something you're going to share with me that I can incorporate to what I'm doing. So that's kind of what this is. It's just about living a good lifestyle and just having a fat first mindset as opposed to just eating whatever. So it's like, you know, people when they make something or they cook something, well, not in my household, but a few years ago, I'm sure you'd see like, oh, make sure you have like, margarine. We'll use margarine instead. It's like, you got to lead with fat, right? So even if you're not doing keto, like use that grass-fed butter, right? Use that, you know, have that avocado, you know, use the right oils. I think we've gone away from it. And since we've gone away from it, what has come up is chronic illness and disease and mental issues. And that is 100% a cause of improper nutrition.
Yeah, for period. Sure. Yeah, I agree with that.
Period.
So are you coaching clients?
I'm kind of, so I think I want to go down that route of like kind of mentoring and like speaking like in schools and stuff, just about like, I have a pretty unique story, I guess you can say, like my upbringing and my life. But I'm not actually coaching anybody. My wife and I, we made a cookbook, and we also do gene testing and hormone and food sensitivity testing. So that's one thing when people, you know, first approach us and they want to know if keto is for them or not. I'm like, well let's test your genes. Like, maybe it's not for you. And it goes back to what I'm saying, but that doesn't mean that you should just be having low-fat yogurts and margarine and, you know, don't have that certain oil, you know what I mean? So I'm just trying to really change the way people think when they approach to, like, doing what they're doing in their kitchen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he helps with the science aspect of it. This guy is the brain.
Oh. And then, so you mentioned that some people it does, keto doesn't work for. So what kind of scenarios would that be?
So there's a lot of people obviously who could tolerate carbs like it's nothing. They're extremely insulin sensitive. They could have as much as 400 grams of carbs a day and not put on a pound of body fat. That has a lot to do with the genetics and where you're from ethnically. For example, a Swedish male could tolerate high amounts of fat and he reacts well. I'm from southern Italy, so is Greg. We rolled the genetic die that our genes don't allow us to process carbs as well. Although most southern Italians and most, I think, southern Europeans can tolerate carbs very well because that's what the diet's used to. So it comes down to that. Keto is not for everybody, obviously. It's about your bio-individuality at the end of the day. So in my opinion, the science is there that backs keto and backs the high-fat, low-carb movement because it just makes sense. There's a lot of people who are against it. For whatever reason, I think the people though who are against it
are being paid a lot of money to be against it.
That's totally possible. I think that also people who are against it sincerely don't experience the insulin insensitivity and the carb intolerance that other people do. And then unfortunately, the culture of the society over the past, I'd say over half a century, has cultivated most people in North America especially to become more and more insulin insensitive and carb insensitive and have to resort to high fat, low carb diets. Mm-hmm.
And one thing too that I noticed with keto, once they do it, let's just say it isn't even for them. Let's just say after a month, I guarantee you, you'll never go back to eating the same though. Like your cheats won't be the same. Mm-hmm. And when I mean cheats, yeah, I'm not talking about like the once a week cheat, but like mm-hmm. if once a month you want to indulge, whether that be, if you want to get some donuts or like McDonald's is your thing, whatever. I'm not here to judge anybody. But once you experience the benefits of keto, when you cheat, you find yourself going for like fruits, maybe sushi, maybe like just something like gone are the days of like McDonald's or
Greg's point. Yeah, like when I was doing hardcore keto at the beginning of the summer, end of spring, I kind of changed my goals now, so I'm not on strict keto anymore. But when I was on strict keto, when I looked at a bowl of fruit, my God, I wanted to eat it, because like you can't eat fruit, like, you have a couple berries here and there, but. Like he said, like once you do start this diet, your cheats won't be the same because they won't be as bad. You won't. I mean, sure, at the end of the day, if you look at a nice pizza compared to a bowl of fruit, you might obviously prefer a pizza. But your definition of cheating will change once you are on keto because you're already deprived of stuff like fruits, maybe some tubers, potatoes, stuff like that. That are still wholesome foods, but they just.
And just things changing your body, like the way like it responds to certain foods, or it's just your body maybe won't want it or as much. Like I know, like I used to be like a bottomless pit on cheat days. Now it's like I can't. Yeah. Like,
what actually happens is that once you do adopt a high fat lifestyle, a high fat diet, you actually aren't as hungry anymore, and you don't crave as much carbs because you're fully satiated. They're satiety hormones specifically for fats and proteins. Yet for highly refined carbs, there's no really any satiety hormones. That's why, for me, for example, if my grandmother gives me a plate of pasta, I can eat three plates at a time because you just don't get full.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's also very important for men, especially. As we get older, it's no secret, men tend to dip, right? Testosterone levels, certain hormone levels. So, fat is an essential part of that, right? So to just kind of ignore it or walk away from it, it's nuts. Like if you have like some nut butters and some eggs and some avocados, and that's just something you don't typically have, you're going to notice a change almost within like 72 hours. You're going to like the energy that, your endurance and, what it is, what it is. Your sex drive, all of that ramps up, and that's because of fat.
Yeah. So maybe let's go through for people that don't know by now, like, what is your typical ketogenic diet? Okay. What would that consist of, and how many carbs, and what kind of foods are you sticking to?
Well, again, it's very, I guess it's dependent. I think that's, it's very blanket when people just say, like, you know, I'm doing keto. I laugh at that now when people say they're doing keto, and then they assume that just means eating, you know, I even did a video about it. If you just eat, like, packaged salami, mayonnaise, and cheese all day, you will lose weight. But it's not sustainable, and I don't know what your, you know, what the results are going to be down the road.
And the sources of fat that you're getting through those salamis and
so,
those.
Yeah, like I have family members and friends now that say they do keto, and they're literally just eating garbage. That's not keto. So rule of thumb usually at the beginning, dependent again upon maybe your workout regimen or your body type. That's why we're very, very big on promoting our gene testing, because we want to see if it's something that's plausible. But at the beginning, it's usually 25 to 50 net grams, they say, is when you want to cap it at per day, which also goes back to kind of what we were saying earlier about just like standard diets. Like standard to who? The typical Western diet is a joke, right? The amount of carbohydrates people are consuming is far beyond what's necessary. So when you do start keto, you do keep it in that 25 to 50 range. As you do get more and more, not necessarily in a deeper state of ketosis, but when you are more, I call it fat adapted, you can actually start to implement a little bit more carbohydrates, and you can use those, you know, pea strips or like a blood glucose, you know, meter to test that. But the biggest thing too is that a lot of times people just focus on ketosis, which it is important, especially if you have illness, disease, and all that, and it's great for energy and endurance. But if this is something you're going to commit to your entire life, you're going to go in and out of ketosis, and I think that's important. I think at the beginning you want to be in ketosis, and you should strive for that, because I think you should always set a goal and aim for it. But at the very beginning, you want to just focus on getting the right amount of fats, just kind of allowing your mind and your body and spirit to just accept that you are going to change everything about who you are, you know, with this way of living. So you keep the carbs, like I said, 25 to 50 net grams per day. You know, they say moderate protein, but I got to tell you, I've talked to people that monitor themselves daily, and they've ramped their protein through the roof, and you know, they've still stayed in ketosis. Again, I think that, I don't know if that's a genetic disposition, like maybe it's different amongst people who can just, you know, have more protein, but I've always kept my protein rather high. I train pretty intensely, so protein's very high, but fat is always at the highest. Yeah. I always keep the fat high. But I also think that's where sometimes people slip up, right? Because what is it, per gram of fat is, was it 9, right? Compared to
protein and carbs.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, a lot of times people can easily slip up, especially the cheese. Cheese is the easiest thing people slip up on a keto. They'll just overdo it on the cheese, and they think they're doing keto.
And nut butters.
Yeah, and nut butters.
I can eat a whole tub of peanut butter and...
What would, so eating nut butter... Or cheeses. Well, cheese is low carb, so that would knock you out of ketosis, though.
If you have a lot of it, I just don't think cheese in general you should be having
The thing is with cheese, too, when we're looking at calories. The ratios, right? So just to back up a bit, to get in a ketogenic state, your ratios are going to be 70 to 75% fat. Your caloric intake is going to be 70 to 75% fat, 20 to 25% protein, and 5-ish percent carbs. So that's standard.
The typical pie chart. If you Google, that's what you're going to see. That's
exactly. Standard. So for the average person, that's a standard ratio that you want to start off with at least to get into ketosis. The types of fats at the beginning, especially to emphasize, you want MCTs, which are abundant in things like coconut oil. You could get actually straight MCT oil, which is awesome because so MCTs are medium chain triglycerides. Unlike long chain, they have to go through the GI tract and get digested separately, blah, blah, blah. MCTs go directly to the liver and turn into ketones. Yep. So by essentially denying your body of carbs and then going the step further to even deny your body of long chain fatty acids, which are still ketogenic, obviously. Most fats in food are long chain fatty acids. But if you give your body, especially at the beginning, an abundance of MCTs, that will excel the process of getting into a ketogenic state and fat adapted. In terms of when we go to talk about different types of fats, Greg was saying at the before, some people think they're on a ketogenic diet when they're, you know, eating salami, when they're eating mayonnaise, and just kind of to an extent, not real fat, like not the best sources of fat, right?
Yeah. to not having avocados and Brazilian nuts or macadamias. They're having what we just said.
Yes. In terms of protein, this is a so people also think, I don't know if I'm going too forward here, but people think that when you're on a ketogenic diet, you will lose muscle. Your gains are gone. You won't have any energy, blah, 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 blah. I don't agree with that because the literature says otherwise. The ketogenic diet allows the body to maintain muscle very well. So the thing is, when we're on a regular diet, right, a lot of times our bodies eat up our muscle through gluconeogenesis to create energy. And one of the main protein or the main amino acid from our muscles that is eaten up for energy is leucine. Leucine is also happens to be the most anabolic hormone and the most insulinogenic hormone, so it does increase insulin a little bit. When you're in a ketogenic state, right, because you have more ketones, the ketones chemically resemble leucine, your body doesn't need to break down muscle. Your body just uses the ketones. So you end up having more leucine free to roam about around in your bloodstream. So you do end up, I wouldn't say gaining muscle, because there are studies that say that it is quite hard to gain muscle, but the maintenance of muscle on a ketogenic diet is amazing. And compared to,
your body adapts, right? Like protein synthesis, it changes.
Yes. Changes. But yeah, your body becomes more efficient at synthesizing proteins and synthesizing other macronutrients and micronutrients, right? That's the good. That's the amazing thing about keto, especially when it's combined with intermittent fasting, stuff like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say people have the same. There's a stigma that when you fast, you're not gonna maintain or build muscle. But as you said, you know, it actually proves otherwise. Yeah. I think there's just a lot of not bad information. It's just it's not always coming from a credible source, and there's not always enough evidence that's backing it up, right? So I think a lot of times now, and anything that's new, there's always that pushback, and you know, there's certain celebrities or paid celebrities that will say otherwise. Yeah. But I don't know, if you really look at like the science and the paperwork and like the literature that's behind this, I think it's just something that is also going to not only help people but perhaps make them not as sick, which we know is a big part of the, you know,
that's in my business. Opinion, that's the most significant thing about the ketogenic diet. There are a lot of diets out there that could help one lose weight, and there's different diets that some people will respond different to, but the special thing about the ketogenic diet is that it allows people to recover from things like type 2 diabetes, get rid of diseases like obesity, hypertension, heart disease, and even to go as far as cognitive diseases like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, stuff like that. That to me is so significant. Yeah, seizures, epilepsy, right? There's countless studies and trials that prove that, you know, the ketogenic diet maybe won't cure anything yet. It helps many, many different kinds of diseases, and you know.
Well, Dr. Dom DiAgostino, who's a very prominent figure and name in the keto realm, I believe he said, as far as he knows, that there is only, I think, less than 5 solid years of consistent studies being, you know, that have been conducted. So this is all very new. Maybe it'll prove otherwise, but thus far, from someone like him, who I know, and I'm sure you're aware of him, he's very, very reputable. People are like, he even did that little special where he's talking about the amount of people that he saw who had cancer, and that he, you know, kind of provided them with a ketogenic diet, and the clip ended with they're all still alive. So it's like, you know, I'm not saying that it's going to cure your cancer, but really reevaluate what you're putting into your body, like what amount. Again, that's why we really want people to, even if people are like, forget it, keto, this and that, okay, well, let's test your genes, let's figure it out, right? Like, I don't understand how people can still go into a gym now and approach a trainer, that, you know, they get your BMI done and then they give you this workout regimen and meal plan, but it's like, how are we all one? We're all so different, right? Like, we're all so different. So I think everyone's just kind of not scrambling, but trying to figure out how to, I guess, incorporate all this into I think it's become the fastest growing subsector in like the fitness industry, like the keto world. So it's like, I don't know, I think people are capitalizing on it now wrongfully, like you know, to just gain money, which is fine, everyone is entitled to make their money, but the real information and the real studies are kind of still being kind of pushed down, and everyone is just trying to sell stuff, you know, lose fat, lose fat, lose fat. But you can't do that with just, like I said, eating mayonnaise and cheese all day. It's just not good for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And do you find, what do you find the biggest stumbling blocks are for people?
Once you actually start eating ketogenically, you go through a thing called keto flu, which essentially is your body rejecting the diet that you're giving it now. Because your body its whole life, your body's used to, every cell in your body is used to running on glucose. So when you deprive your body of glucose through diet, your body rejects it. It's essentially a withdrawal. Right? So keto flu is essentially you just feeling dizzy, nauseous. You can't train. You can barely walk. It lasts for what? Like a day or two?
Honestly, I never got it super, super bad. Keto flu, I did feel it. There are those days where you almost feel kind of lethargic and dizzy. But I just kind of like electrolytes, like Himalayan salt helps, right? Some EAAs.
At the beginning, it'll come and go. Like for me, the first time I tried keto was like April 2017. And I remember it was just an afternoon of keto flu-like symptoms. And I felt, you know, lethargic. I felt nauseated, stuff like that. That's essentially your body getting really confused as to deciding which energy source to use, because it's used to carbs, like I said, and you're giving it all fat. It's trying to decide what it's going to do with all this fat, right? So once it does adapt to get past the keto flu, then more than likely you are in a keto adapted state, or then your body will start using fatty acids and ketones for fuel, which is then at that point you will start receiving all the benefits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that keto flu, you said it only might last a few days, or
so it
just depends on the person.
I think it depends. He said it was an afternoon. I've heard people say it's usually a couple days.
Yeah.
I know I felt something, but I'm the type of person that if I'm going to kind of dive into something, and when I did many years ago, I kind of read so much that I felt like my mind was almost prepared for it. I know it sounds kind of weird. So I think whatever it was I was feeling, it was almost like I was like kind of like breathing and just saying like, okay, this is the state we're at, like this is the phase that we're at. We're gonna feel a little down, or not down, but like just a little, like he said, lethargic, and then it goes away pretty quickly. Like I don't ever remember being like a standout where like I felt like it debilitated me in a way that I couldn't go on, or I couldn't train, or I needed to lay down. You hear about that, but again, I almost feel that that's just people who are, I don't want to say like weak, but just things are hard. Get over it, right? Like, go. Like, but that's what makes us grow and become better people, right? So I never got it to the point where it's like, oh, I can't do this, I'm going to give up. The biggest thing I got, and which is why we actually have a no-carb bread, and we also have a no-carb pasta that's coming out. And it was more of a psychological aspect to create these things. Like, I'm fine if I never have a piece of bread again in my life. Like, I'm okay. Like, I'm fine. Some people, they can't. So we've created this bread, and you've had it. It's good. It's good. It's fine. But like, it was more just to satisfy people, so that like, look, you can cut this in half. You can put it in a toaster oven. You can put butter on it. It was more just to give people that sense of, oh, I'm eating bread, and it is bread. It tastes and looks and feels like bread, but there's no carbs in it. But that's the biggest thing. People always say, well, what am I going to eat? I found when I started doing keto, I had way more options than I did otherwise. Because again, I've been wrestling 10 years, so you kind of always had to be in some good shape. So it was always monitoring calories and eating the right thing. So to me, it's like, okay, I just don't get to have like bread, pasta, and some rice, but I get to have all this other good stuff, and I'm going to feel better, and all my inflammation's going to go away, and my joints are going to feel good.
And just to leapfrog off of Greg's point, when people ask, like what am I going to eat on a ketogenic diet? Like, where am I going to get my fat from? Well, first of all, you do have a lot of fats through oils. That's the majority where you will get establish the ratio of 70 to 75% fats from your caloric intake. It will be from oils, because that's where calorically dense. I believe like what, one tablespoon of coconut oil is like 14 grams of fat.
Yeah.
The majority is
or a little more, I guess.
More or less,
either way, a lot.
So you are getting a lot of fats through oils.
Yeah.
Right. The second thing about what are you going to eat on a ketogenic diet, well, the thing is, once you do get keto adapted, you are satisfied, you become satisfied, and you're not always craving food, right? So like when I was deep into ketosis afterwards, after a couple months, I could have maybe two boiled eggs and then I was good for the day. Like I would not get any more cravings. That's the difference, you know, when you're having pasta, when you're having cereal, when you're having granola bars, you're kind of always like wanting more because you're always hungry. You have high spikes in insulin, high spikes in blood sugar, which come down and would make you hungry at the end of the day, right? So with using a ketogenic diet, it stables blood sugar, it stables insulin levels, which don't cause like high spikes of hunger multiple times throughout the day, which is for me, it's an awesome thing because that also is what is part of what enhances, you know, cognition, focus during the day, right? On more important things, you're not always you don't care about eating all the time, which is a good thing in my opinion.
Yeah, you become limitless almost like the movie. But
well, it sounds pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's got to have some drawback.
In my opinion, in my experience, I would say there are a couple of drawbacks. More so socially than physically, I think, to be honest. Socially, my God, you know, when my friends call me out, I can't have beer. I can't have, you know, the majority of the things that they're eating or they're serving, whatever, it's carbs. I can't have it, right? So socially, ketogenic diet is a little restrictive, which goes back around to say that, you know, you just have to surround yourself with people who have the same goals as you, like me and Greg, right? Yeah. We found each other and we have the same goals, and it's been awesome having him, you know, by my side and supporting me, stuff like that. My friends, they don't adhere to the same diet as me, so it can be a little harder for people who have friends that don't adhere to the same diet. So physically, I would say, at the beginning especially, when you're a trained weightlifter, for example,
yeah,
and you're used to doing, you know, hypertrophy style workouts that vary from, I don't know, anywhere from 8 to 10 repetitions per set, right? You won't get the same explosiveness with a ketogenic diet
at first,
but you will. Strength will not drop, but so you'll maintain the same strength from reps from like 1 to 3. If you have not a lot of glycogen in your system after those first couple reps, you will kind of die down. But it's awesome for endurance training, right? So if you're a cyclist, if you're a runner, you will thrive, absolutely thrive from adhering to a ketogenic lifestyle. Dr. Stephen Finney, who is one of the pioneers of the ketogenic lifestyle, and his partner Jeff Volek. So Finney and Volek did a study. So they did a study where they tested two groups of cyclists, trained cyclists. Yeah. One was, a group that adhered to a regular diet, high in carbs. You know, they carb loaded. They had, you know, energy bars, pasta, blah blah blah, stuff like that. Another group was kinetically trained. Well, they found that the outcome was both groups of cyclists maintained the same amount of energy, they finished at the same pace, they went the same pace, and if anything, the ketogenic group could have gone longer because they have the fat that provides more energy per gram than carbs to, you know, supply them. For example, like the average person has around 40,000 stored calories of fat energy in their body, whereas another average person could have anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 stored grams of carbs as energy, right? So I don't know. You tell me what energy source would you rather have? You have 40,000 calories stored or 2 to 3, yeah, right?
My, the drawback, I did notice an initial drawback in strength. So it wasn't that bad, and I wouldn't say it was long, but I do recall just not being able to get the same amount of volume at the desired weight that I was used to. But it all came back, right? Once your body kind of switches and adapts, I was able to not only sustain like more endurance, but my strength did go up. But I think it would be naive to say that like you don't have a little performance drawback initially, though. And I think it's just like with anything, when someone gets a little pushback or there's resistance, they just kind of want to throw in the towel. I kind of was like, let's keep going. It's only like, this was literally within the first 2 or 3 months. So I'm like, let's keep going. And sure enough, all my highest, like my PR, all my goals were done keto. Yeah. Yeah. Every goal I've broken of myself has been without excessive carbohydrates.
I would say another drawback, at the same time, obviously looking at Greg's experience, he broke PRs on a ketogenic diet. However, to actually put on muscle using a ketogenic diet, it's extremely difficult. It's possible, but it's extremely difficult. There was a study done. There was a group of trained men who had a diet of carbs and then a diet of keto, so two different groups. Essentially, at the end of the study, they found that both groups of men maintained or gained a little bit of muscle, but the difference was, at the end of the diet, the ketogenically trained group lost more fat.
More fat.
Right? So that's. I mean, depending on what your goals are, if you want to put on lots of muscle, I would say ketogenic diet isn't for you.
As you start to kind of get comfortable and get good at what you're doing, or you feel that you are reaching your goals, you know, try something. Like, add a little, maybe you want to add some berries back in, or this and that. Like, it's just about what works best for your body, because again, to me, it always goes back to your mind. Like, if you're not mentally feeling right, then switch it up.
Yeah. You mentioned athletes a lot. Now, what type of person would you say does best on this diet, or what's...
Endurance athletes. 100%. Like I was saying before, cyclists, runners, because they're using their aerobic metabolism, which enables them to use fat as energy, which is a longer lasting fuel source. It's slower in terms of getting that energy, because glycolysis is extremely fast when you use glucose for energy via anaerobic metabolisms when you're lifting weights, right? The process of glycolysis is extremely fast. But when you're an endurance athlete, you're going at a steady pace. So you could essentially use that time to allow your body to burn fat as fuel via the aerobic metabolism. Also, in my opinion, I was just listening to a video earlier today about the ketogenic diet works best for. General people.
Yeah.
When we eat carbs, and the majority of North Americans eat highly refined carbs at multiple periods of the day,
and a lot.
Inflammation is from that, essentially. Your body is not used to having those refined carbs because they're so man-made, right? So it contributes to a whole bunch of different inflammasomes that are activated through the body that cause, you know, joint pain, that cause, you know, brain fog, all result of this inflammation. And ketogenic dieting is absolutely awesome for inflammation. And inflammation, again, there's this concept actually called inflammaging. So they're saying now in the scientific community that inflammation actually causes excelled aging.
I believe that.
Right? I'm actually reading a book right now. I haven't gotten to the chapter yet, but there's a chapter about how carbs themselves, chemically, they actually accelerate aging too. Right? Again, all through inflammation. And the ketogenic diet is very anti-inflammatory.
It just drives me nuts now when I see how careless people can be, because if you really look at the last two or three decades, there's been two things that has happened. There's been a large amount of corporations who have bought into the food industry and are making food that people are buying on shelves. Okay, so that's happened in the last two or three decades. The other thing that has seen a huge spike in is illness and disease and mental illness.
Yeah. Now, for the average person that doesn't know a whole lot about nutrition, how would they get started on something like this? Like the, you know, 50-60-year-old people out there that maybe don't train and don't understand nutrition. What's the easiest way to start on something like this if they want to give it a try?
We are in the information age. Like I said, it's almost ignorant of somebody to not even if you don't want to live this way, read about it. Just see what's going on out here. So I think if you're 50 or 60 years old, if you don't have anybody in your family who might be of some, maybe even guidance, even if they're not experts, just guidance, then you got to get on the internet and you kind of got to look around and really filter through. There is a lot of BS, but
my dad, he's close to 50 now, and my mom also, but they're much more open to listening to what I have to say, because obviously they grew up not hearing this at all, you know, high fat, you know, cardiac disease, right? But they're much more open to listening to what I have to say. And you know, my dad now is asking me for advice on diet in terms of cognitive help, right? The challenge is my grandparents' generation, who are I think 65 and above, because they have ingrained in them carbohydrates are good for you and fats are not. If they want to help themselves, then they can do it like anybody else can.
Let's talk about the Keto Click. How did that get started? You said like a few years ago?
Yeah, so like I said, so I was thinking about it for a long time, and then once I, you know, kind of fully submerged myself into the diet, I wanted to kind of understand better how to make it a lifestyle, because I do see for somehow it would be hard to kind of eat a certain way for so long, but I think that's the other mistake people make, right? Not proper supplementation, right? There are certain things you do need to take, like you need to make sure you are using like the Himalayan salt, or there's other types of salts that you can use for your like electrolytes, right? Your potassium magnesium. Levels, magnesium, right? Like a digestive enzyme with mm-hmm. betaine hydrochloride. There are certain things you need to take on a ketogenic diet. So as I kind of dug more and more deeper, I almost kind of just felt it was a good way to give back. So even if like I do choose to have some carbohydrates, like I said, it's about creating a sustainable lifestyle where you can scale back on carbohydrates but still enjoy them. You know what I mean? So even if you're not strict, so a lot of times people just want to live and die by their brand. So it's like, it's keto, that means that's it. Like, you know what I mean? Like even though I could go without it, there is going to be a day where I'm going to have a plate of pasta again. I'm going to have bread again, but I don't need it. I don't want it. But if it's going to allow people to thrive, right, and I can kind of point them in a direction where they can kind of see the benefits of scaling back, like I said, once you do that, you're never going to go back. You'll never go back. I guarantee you'll never go back to the way you used to eat before on a consistent basis. No way. So I kind of wanted to just give back and try and educate people that you can kind of do anything, even if it's not diet related. I literally set forth so many goals and changed my entire being of who I am from a diet. Mm-hmm. Like your brain literally switches.
It goes to show the cognitive benefits of ketogenic diet, right? Your brain right now, or not right now, depending on what diet you are, if you're on a high carb diet, your brain is using glucose, right? When your blood ketone levels are high enough where you're in a state of ketosis, beta hydroxybutyrate, which is one of the main ketone bodies produced by the liver, it's actually used much more efficiently by the brain. So your brain is happier using beta hydroxybutyrate, and also brain blood flow is increased by 30%. Most studies say when you're in a ketogenic state, meaning that you're getting a lot more oxygen, a lot more nutrients to your brain. So your brain could just use that, feel better, think more. The brain fog goes away, and that's amazing to me, because in the morning, you know, like when I used to not adhere to this diet, obviously, in the morning I was just groggy. Foggy. I was groggy. Yeah,
you'll feel better. Like you're more, like he said, like that happens almost within 2 days. Like you literally just, you know, when you wake up, you're kind of like when I wake up, I'm up.
Yeah,
you know, when this started, it was just to be a good influence and just show people that through nutrition you literally can change the way you think and look at the world. Like it totally changes your perception. My entire perception changed. There's no doubt about it. I changed because of this diet.
So where's the best place that people can get in touch with you if they want to hear more about what you're doing?
So for KetoClick, just ketoclick.com, KetoClique .com. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it's all KetoClick. Individually, I'm Anthony Fiasco on Instagram, my wrestling name, and on Facebook and everything. Well, Greg Anthony Fiasco on Facebook. I know Nick has a couple pages, and he also has a fitness page, so I'll let him.
Yeah. So I started a fitness page called Respira Fitness back in, I don't know, a couple months ago when I finished school, and I'm on break now, so I thought I'd start a fitness page. I kind of stopped it right now because I've gotten really busy with work. But anyways, people could look me up and get in touch with me either by going on my Instagram page, my personal one, Nick Del Medico, N-I-C-K, and I guess you could put my last name there. And then my other Instagram, Respira Fitness, so RESPIRA_fitness.
Yeah, and if people were interested, I'm just showing them, this is the stuff that we do offer. So we have apparel, we do have supplements through an affiliate company, and we do various amounts of different testings for your hormone, you know, vitamin D, food sensitivity testing, and all that. So that you have a clear indication whether you're going through something, even if it's not diet related or food related, and you don't even want to do friggin' keto. If you just want to know what's going on in your body, reach out to us. And then if you want to just maybe have a meal plan, a workout regimen created, Nick would be more than happy
yeah,
to do that.
Yeah, I would love to do that. And yeah, like nutrigenomics testing yeah. that Greg does, right? It's a money saver. It is, because at the end of the day, it tells you what essentially what diet to go on.
If you go on our Instagram page and you'll see the story, like you'll literally get handed a booklet of your DNA. It'll tell you what you lack in, what you have too much of, what type of like exercises you would excel in, like every single thing. So when people are just going to the doctor for these typical kind of blood tests, and which I do recommend, but I just need people to understand that when those blood tests are like almost like just where you're at currently, depending on what you eat that day and like your stress levels and maybe the amount of sleep you get, if you go do a blood test another 24 to 48 hours later, it's going to read completely differently. So if you really want to have a snapshot of your genetic profile and DNA, get at us. Get at us.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Cool. Greg. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nick. Thank you, sir.
Not a problem. My pleasure.
All right.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Biceps and Banter with Brandon Crow. If you like our show, do us a huge subscribe, toss a review on iTunes, or maybe share the show with your friends. And if you want to know more, find us at fastingftw.com. Our Patreon is patreon.com/fastingftw.